Today on a chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a story that starts out like so many others, a young family looking for a new home, and after they move in, things happen that just cannot be explained. Indeed, this family does experience countless paranormal moments, but the most shocking of them all comes when the distinct sound of a locomotive roaring down the tracks behind their house awakens the family late in the night. The only problem, no train has traveled down the abandoned and broken tracks in decades. Was this home a hot spot for the paranormal? Or did this family's energy truly bring out the dead? That story and many more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, if you like the show, become an extra podcast person, get access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, new bonus episodes every week, as well as advanced episodes of the show, all of it ad-free. You just binge away, no ads. You could be listening to ghost stories non-stop, non-interrupted. Right now, for probably months on end. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's program. What's going on?
Well, you and I were just talking about a weird thing that I saw the other day. And so you looked at the video. Mm-hmm. But we've been having weird weather. Like, we don't really get that much snow, and we've had quite a bit of it this year.
Yeah.
And so the other day, it had rained really hard, and then it switched to snow. So I go to walk my dog in the morning, and he's 16, so it's really to the mailbox and back, and that's about it. But, so we're walking, and he's getting hit with these, like, little mini slush ball things. Mm-hmm. It was really weird, and I thought they were just falling off the tree or something, but then we got away from the tree, and he's still getting it, and, like, I'm getting hit with these slush balls, and I'm like, what the hell are these slush balls? So I'm driving to work, and I'm at this intersection, and there's trees. It's like, you know, four lanes every direction, and well, two north, two south.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think. So I'm at the intersection, and there's some big trees on the side of on the corners. But as I pull up to the intersection, I just saw this like splash, like some really huge splash, and it caught my eye, and I was like, what the hell was that? Then I saw another one. What was that? And then I'm like, oh, it must be falling off the power lines, like ice had accumulated or something. So I'm looking at the power lines, and I realize that it's coming from above the power lines, like it's falling out of the sky, and it looks like ice sticks is what it looks like. And so I took a video of it. You can go to my Facebook page, Carol Hughes. It should be pretty easy to find. But and my page is wide open, so everybody can look. But it's like they're just falling out of the sky.
It's like icicles. It's like icicles falling from the sky.
Like really, they don't look as big as what they were because they're falling from the sky. But I bet they were like in the 5 feet by the maybe 4 feet by the time they hit the ground.
That could like kill somebody.
Well, so I took the video. And then a woman posted, she goes, oh my God, I'm glad you got that. She said one of them, it hit her windshield and she thought it was going to, like, it hit so hard that she assumed like it was busted. So I sent it to my friend who's a chief meteorologist for the local CBS station.
Yes.
And he's like, it must have been like some sort of wind thing, like, the wind gust and starts to swirl around. And so like the ice came from the trees, and I'm like, but the ice didn't come from the trees.
Well, that's what the thing landed on. Ross actually has a wheel and he spins it. And then like whenever anybody asks a weather question, he just like reads that exact explanation.
Like, it must be some weird circular wind gusternator. And I'm like, I think it was weirder than that. Like, I think it was ice sticks falling from the sky, but you know, you are the meteorologist. Yeah. I'm not. But it was really weird because I'm just sitting in my car watching it, and it's definitely coming from way above the power lines.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that.
It was weird. Those are very creepy pictures. I mean, it's got to be something where the ice got picked up somewhere and then is now being deposited. There's so many stories throughout history, throughout weather, where things rain on other areas that are not natural things to be raining on them. There's all different accounts. The one I can think of that I remember years ago was it was a tornado. But again, if there's the right pattern, something can get picked up someplace and then deposited elsewhere, it will. Cans. A tornado hit a canning factory, a Green Giant canning factory. And about 10 miles up the way, cans started falling from the sky.
Oh, now that's crazy.
Yeah, Green Giant cans. Some still had labels.
But like, we didn't have a tornado. It wasn't, no. I mean, I think that it was probably kind of windy, but I live in Kansas and wind doesn't even get my attention very often.
Wichita is almost like in a perpetual tornado compared to the rest of the...
Yeah, so we're like, oh, like even the meteorologists will say, it's a breezy day, winds out of the north, 25 to 30 miles an hour. That's breezy.
Yeah.
Windy for us is when they're talking like winds are 45 miles an hour sustained.
Mm-hmm.
That's a windy day.
And you might get some strong gusts in there.
Gusts up to 60 miles an hour. And like, and that's not uncommon.
No.
And so, you know, the fact that I didn't even notice it being windy, mm-hmm. let alone the kind of wind that would be swirling around and creating ice sticks from the heavens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I had a weird wind thing there when I lived there. It was the strangest thing. And it was creepy. Sitting on the back porch, and I'm looking down, and that place, I lived on a railroad track, and down the back porch, you could see the rail line pretty good from the elevated porch, and it was just kind of fun. I liked watching it. I liked seeing the trains kind of come by here and there, but it was just, you knew what it looked like, and for those of you playing along at home, everything is flat that just you see forever.
Yeah.
And so I'm just looking down the way, and the track goes into the horizon, but then I start noticing I'm not seeing the horizon very good. I'm like, what the hell? And it's just like, it's getting a little hazier. And there's a storm that I know is coming, but it's not here yet. And there's no tornado things going on with it. But I'm like, what is this? And it's a wall of dust that literally... I watched it come in, and it was like, and it started gusting like crazy because as it got closer, you could see shit whipping around like in it, like in a, like a circular motion. I'm like, is this a tornado? Cause it was just this wall coming at you. And so I remember I ran down to the basement and we're down there and, it goes through, and I mean, everything on the porch got like blown over. And it was like, what the hell was that? And I called Ross, who you're just talking about. I'm like, what the hell was that? That's exactly what I said. And he's like, where? And I'm like pointing it out. He's like, I see. And he thinks it was something called a gust NATO.
Yeah.
Where it's not a tornado, but like it's such a strong gust. It comes through with potential tornado speeds, but it's just this wall. And it's like, I've never heard of that.
Well, I've seen some things in Arizona.
Yeah.
The last few years that it's just this big, massive wall of dirt.
Yeah.
You know, with the wind, it just creates this kind of like a dust bowl sort of thing.
Yeah. That's what I thought of, you know, when I look back on it.
And I have, because you can see forever here, I have seen where that's actually rain, like in the rain.
Yeah.
Pretty much a line. It's not raining here.
Yeah.
You step 10 feet that way, it's raining there.
I've seen it doing almost like a shower, like literally, yeah, like a circle or just a small, like over there. Like I remember just like in a square in a downtown area, I saw that. I'm like, oh my God, it's like raining over on the steps of that building and that's it. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's the weirdest thing. But when that wall comes at you, it's very hard to figure out what you're looking at because it's all blending into the...
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And then until it gets close enough, you're like, oh, shit, that's like moving here. because it's like you realize you're seeing less and less and less of your road, or I was keeping it by the railroad track. I'm like, what the fuck? Just ran inside, and yeah, that was weird.
Well, I mean, like, life isn't weird enough as anymore on a regular day. Now you need to worry about ice sticks falling from the heavens.
Anything can happen. Anything. Let's go to our first story. It says, my story begins like so many others. A young family looking for a new home, and after they move in, things happen that just can't be explained. We've had TVs turn on by themselves. We even had a blender on the kitchen counter turn in the middle of the night. Moved to our current house about 12 years ago. At the time, our three boys were aged 11, 4, and 2. Our basement is a walkout basement that has always had the feeling of being watched from the outside. Even curtains and mini blinds don't seem to help. When our boys have friends sleep over, no one wants to sleep in the basement living room because they too feel like they're being watched. One evening, about 6 months or so after we moved in, my middle son was downstairs watching TV when he came running up the steps as fast as his little four-year-old legs could carry him. He said, Mom, I can't watch TV downstairs because the flying girl won't leave me alone. Yes, you read that correctly. The flying girl. Confused, I asked what flying girl he was talking about, and he said, you know, the flying girl. The one who looks into our bedroom windows at night. Our bedrooms are on the second floor. My husband is a shift worker, and of course, he was working the night this happened, so I did the exact thing you never do in horror movies. I went to investigate. I went downstairs to find Dora the Explorer still playing on the TV. No flying girl in any windows or doors. I guess a flying girl situation would explain why our then two-year-old refused to sleep in his room. From the beginning, our two-year-old would come into our bedroom at night asking to sleep with us because he hears people talking. He came into our room at least 4 to 5 nights a week, claiming that the people talking wouldn't be quiet. We just thought it was due to being in a new house with new surroundings. It went on so long that I thought maybe he was just getting too comfortable sleeping with Mom and Dad, and that I made him a bed out of blankets and pillows on the floor next to my side of the bed, and thought surely sleeping on the floor instead of in bed with Mom and Dad would detour him from coming in the middle of the night. And most mornings I'd wake up and there would be, on his makeshift bed, ever an extremely creepy moment one evening while giving my two-year-old a bath. While sitting on the floor watching him play in the bubbles, he looks over my shoulder and says, Hi, what's your name? I turned around to find no one there. I asked who he was talking to when he said, The flying girl. I froze, not knowing what to say or do. He went back to playing the bubbles. I eventually acted like what he said didn't give me a major case of the creeps. Around this time, my oldest son complained of waking up in the middle of the night to the feeling of someone touching his feet. He's a very heavy sleeper and has been known to sleepwalk and have full-on conversations while sound asleep, so I chalked it up to him dreaming. These things went on for about a year or so and started to slowly stop. My first encounter with anything unexplainable was a little over a year after we had been living there. Woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. When I passed by the bedroom window, I saw someone standing in the middle of the street under the streetlight. We live out in the country in a cul-de-sac in the middle of cornfields. Our street has 7 houses with a little over an acre of land between each house. I tried to make out some features to see who would be standing in the middle of the street at 2 a.m. in the middle of winter. Without my glasses, all I could see was the shape, but no details. I turned to get my glasses off the bedside table and turned back to see that no one was there. Like I said before, our properties are spread far apart, and for someone to run and hide behind something in the second I turn around would be impossible. They seem to have just vanished. My boys had some friends over one evening. They were playing tag when two boys came running up in the backyard, stating that there were shadows along the back fence line. This incident will have more meaning later in my story. We brushed it off as them seeing their own shadows. And one boy said, But the shadow climbed the tree and sat on a branch. One afternoon, I came home early to get the house ready for company later that evening. The boys were still at school and my husband was at work. I was standing in the kitchen cutting up veggies when not one, not two, but all 3 bedroom doors slammed right after the other. There were no windows open that could cause such an effect. My husband and I were home alone one evening watching a movie. We have a mirror in the entryway of our house, which, when you sit on our couch, you can see into the dining room. I saw what looked like a man in overalls walk through the dining room and disappear into the wall. I sat up with a startle. My husband looks at me and says, "Did you see him too?" I think we slept with every light on in the house that night. During the thick of COVID, I was woken up one night by the doorbell, thinking that maybe I was dreaming. I sat up and listened closer. It rang again. This time I was wide awake. I went to turn on the front porch light, but there was no one there. Could it have been kids playing a prank? Maybe. But given the history of the house, I highly doubt it. One time after returning from a vacation, our neighbors asked about our house sitter and why they just seemed to stand in the windows and stare out into the street. We didn't have any house sitters while we were gone. There should have been no one in the house. While backing out of the garage one afternoon, I had my two younger sons in the car with me. I glanced up into my oldest son's room and saw him standing in his window. Then I remembered he wasn't home. He was hanging out at a friend's house that afternoon. I looked back up to see that he or it was gone. There have been several times that our neighbors have seen someone standing in various windows in our home. Each time, no one living was home. There have been so many stories throughout the last 12 years, it would take hours for me to write them down. Fast forward to October of 2021, my oldest son has grown and moved out of the house, and my two younger boys are now teenagers. In spite of Halloween, my husband, two younger sons, and I went on a ghost tour in our neighboring town. About 30 minutes into the tour, the guide, who is also a paranormal investigator, was asked what investigation was his most interesting. He responded with, "Well, the most active house I've ever investigated was about 15 years ago in Sherman. We live in Sherman." My husband and I just looked at each other thinking, no way. He can't be talking about our house. I raised my hand and asked if he remembered the address, and he answered no, but I do remember it was out in the country in a cul-de-sac. Holy shit, Batman. He was talking about our house. And the tour was over. We pulled him aside and told him that we were pretty sure the house he was talking about was ours. He described the layout of our house and property to a T. I asked if he remembered anything about the investigation. He said, "It may have been over 15 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday." He went on to tell a story of shadows in the backyard around the weeping willow tree and an EVP of a young girl that seemed to call out to her mother. He said they caught pictures of orbs in the bedroom where my youngest son slept and heard voices. Of the investigation, the team there, they had a psychic. They thought it wasn't necessarily our house that had the activity, but it's the land that seemed to be the root of it all. Which will lead to my last and one of my most favorite stories. My neighbor and I were sitting out on her front porch late into the night on a beautiful summer evening. Her house sits directly across from ours. Between the wine and gossip, we lost track of time. Being out in the country, it can be eerily quiet. Out of nowhere, we hear a train whistle blow from behind my house. Not only did we hear the train whistle, we heard the chugging of an engine. It was only a split second, just long enough for us to look at each other simultaneously and say, "Did you hear that?" Even though there are train tracks at the back of our property, the tracks have been abandoned for over 20 years. We had been drinking wine that night, but we were nowhere near drunk. When I tell people the stories of our house, I'm always asked, "Why don't you just move?" Well, the answer is, I don't want to. I love our house. Even though throughout the years we've had so many unexplained occurrences, we've never once felt threatened in any way. Creeped out? Yeah, maybe. But never threatened. I'm sure I'll have more stories in the coming years. I'll be sure to write in and share them with you. Love the podcast. What I always think is interesting in some of these stories, where it's like, we heard a train whistle and the thing, but we weren't drinking. Like, okay, that's great, but I don't know what the fuck you have ever drinking that made you hear that sort of shit, because that ain't something I ever experienced when I've been drinking.
Like, and I've drank a lot of wine before.
Trust me, there ain't no train whistles.
Well, there's so many, as the story was going on, I'm like, there's so many things that have happened that I was thinking they actually must have like an attachment to the house. And then at the end, she's like, she loves the house and doesn't want to leave. I think I couldn't get out of there fast enough, but obviously they don't feel horribly threatened. But yeah. I mean, how creepy to go on a ghost tour someplace else and somebody asks the guide, like, where's the creepiest place you've been? And they're like, oh, their house. Basically, like that.
Yeah. Well, he, like, didn't know, but
no.
Yeah.
But I mean, when he describes it and then you realize it's your house he's talking about, it's like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is the hottest, the spookiest one, really.
I don't, I mean,
that's just creepy.
I guess it's kind of verification at the same time, too. It's like, yeah, your house is haunted as shit.
But yet, like, he says it's haunted AF, but then, and it is, but it's not in a creepy way, obviously, to them.
Because mm-hmm.
you couldn't live someplace where there's stuff like that happening all the time, where you'd have to have some peace about it. Else you'd just be on edge. You'd be losing your mind, I would think. I just don't know how you could live like that. Because I guess because I did as a kid, mm-hmm. and I could never get used to that.
Sure.
I always found it spooky. It always scared me.
I think, you know, it, yeah.
My neighbor saw somebody in my bedroom when no one was home. I remember being like, God, why do we have to live there?
That would be horrifying. Just... for someone to say that, and then, like, you're in your bedroom every night, you just kind of know, like, I mean, I'd be so afraid to look at the window yeah. and, like, there'd be a figure there.
And she saw somebody come in. So that means the light had turned on
mm-hmm.
because we didn't leave any lights on, especially yeah. upstairs. But we never left any lights on at all because my mom is so damn cheap that even when we would leave to go away for a weekend, she would turn off the hot water heater. Who does that?
That's a bit much.
That is how cheap my mother is. So there's no light being left on in the house. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, she said she saw someone come and sit on my bed because my bed was right by an upstairs window. And I'm like, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your house is haunted when your neighbors are seeing it when you're not there. That it's just,
yeah.
ugh.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi. What's your story?
Hey, Tony. This is Bobby calling from Pennsylvania. I'm calling today about my ghost story that I want to share with you folks. The place that I'm talking about here is called the Paoli Battlefield. I went there in the summer of 2011, which is located in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And the reason they call it the Paoli Battlefield is there was a Paoli Tavern that was adjacent down the street. And that was really the only landmark that anybody had there where they could identify where this location was. But during the Revolutionary War, obviously it was Britain, or the British versus the Patriots, the American Patriots at the time. And on September 20th to the 21st, I guess overnight during that date, 1777, 53 American Patriots were killed and they were ambushed by bayonet in the middle of the night. A total, I believe, of over 270 American Patriots died within the night or two around that battle there. But it was a critical battle as they were trying to fight, overtake Philadelphia. And I think the British had already captured most of the city, and they were working, kind of pushing the American Patriots back out to the what we call today in the modern suburbs. So my story starts where I had heard from a number of people about, you know, you gotta check this battlefield out. It is crazy haunted. People always get EVPs, and people always get you know, see things and hear things and have paranormal experiences there. So at the time, I was just starting out in my paranormal investigator career. And like when we're young, we do some stupid things and we go by ourselves sometimes because you can't really get people to come with you when you feel like going at times. So what happened was I went in the summer of 2011 by myself, and the field was about, I think it's around 44 acres. It's not very, very big. It is dense woods, part of it. And then there's an open clearing where it's just kind of grass And they do mow it and keep it down. So sometimes you have kids playing, you know, sports there and so on and so forth. It is a historical park in that area. I believe it was purchased in the 1990s. Preparatory school that owned the property, and then they finally sold it, and then they dedicated the land there. Now, there was a monument there going back from the 1800s with a fence around it, but it was just a small area. But since the school, you know, owned it, there wasn't much anybody could do as far as preservation and so on and so forth. But in 1996, they sold the property and moved forward with creating a memorial park for these individuals. One of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you, because when I was walking through the park, and I had one of the very few times in my investigative career that I actually experienced a kind of electrostatic, you know, feeling in on my arms. Hair kind of stands up on your arms, on my back and my neck. I was walking through the park, heading back towards the woods. Now, the problem with this park is that since it is a public park, you're open to get contamination on your EVPs from people, you know, playing in the park and carrying on noise. There's people walking dogs and dogs barking. But this one particular morning, I went about 8:30 in the morning, and I had about 45 minutes of just no one around. I didn't see a soul. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear any dogs barking, nothing. You can vaguely hear traffic in the background, but it was really, really minute. So I was walking back towards the woods, and I sat on a large boulder on a rock. I was trying to get my, you know, my senses as to where the actual massacre occurred. And there are some milestones there. You can look on the ground and see where, you know, certain troops were and so on and so forth. So I was sitting on this rock, this large rock, and I said, well, let me try to see if I can communicate with one of the spirits that might be here, because I had a weird sensation just maybe a minute or two before that, where I had this electrostatic energy kind of go through my body. And like I said, I've investigated probably over 100 different public and private buildings to this date, but never did I really fear something so strong. And it's amazing because this is kind of old energy, 1777, we're talking hundreds of years old. And but the energy was very strong. So getting back to what happened, I said, well, let me pull out one of my voice recorders. And it is an older Sony voice recorder. I love the older recorders. They seem to pick up more EVPs because they kind of generate the white noise in the background. And I said, well, let me just go ahead and lock off this recorder for a couple minutes and see if I get anything. I really didn't ask any questions. I just wanted to kind of sit and kind of let the environment come to me and absorb kind of any of the energy that might be in the battlefield. And I want to go ahead and play one of the EVPs that I caught at the battlefield. And it sounds like a man saying, help me. But it is male's voice. But it does sound like the man saying to help me. So I'll go ahead and play it. Okay, so you can hear it says help me there. I can go ahead and maybe play it again, so any of the listeners maybe didn't get it the first time, they can hear it again. So let me go ahead and clip this out and play it for you. So you can clearly hear there that there is a kind of a modulated voice saying, help me. Interesting, because I imagine if somebody was, you know, bayoneted over sleeping in a tent or an encampment, and all of a sudden British troops kind of just came up and just massacred them, and most of them died by the stabbing of the bayonets, unfortunately. So that was a remarkable, one of my better EVPs that I caught at the Paoli battlefield. Now, I've since gone back maybe a handful of times over the years, but this experience, my first experience there, seemed to be the most profound. You know, where I got the most evidence and EVPs, I guess, at the location. So, well, there you go. Yeah, there's my ghost story for today. I have other ghost stories I can share with you in the future with you and your listeners, and I'll be glad to do that. But for today, I hope you enjoyed it. It was one of the better EVPs, like I said, that I caught at the battlefield. All right, thank you, Tony, and keep up the good work.
Thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the EVP itself, he kind of talked over that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't really hear it, but I could kind of hear it in the background. But it was more just he told the story so well. Mm-hmm. Like, because I love history. And so just the way he told the story, like I'm seeing it and I'm feeling it. And I'm like, you know, that would be horrifying to be in that situation that they were in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't imagine like going someplace like that and not picking up on energy like that. So it doesn't really surprise me that he would have gotten something. But he was a very, very good storyteller. Like, yeah. I really was into that one.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more from him and his experiences and his investigating.
Yeah, because he just set the story up so well and explained it really well. And you kind of just, as he's talking, you visualize it. Mm-hmm. So when he got to the EVP itself, I was like, okay, but the story was so good because I didn't really hear. I mean, I could kind of hear it.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's interesting. Everybody kind of has their what thrills them about this. To me, I don't even care about the EVPs. I want to hear the story. I want to hear what, you know, it's neat. I thought it was cool that he shared that. But that to me is not the part that I walk away from going, like getting shivers. It's the story. It's the experience. And hearing that sometimes is, I think, makes much more of an impact than just, you know, here's, I mean, but to each their own and what they want. But that's what I love about this show.
People like me, like I do, like when I go to a place like that, it's a physical feeling for me. Like I don't necessarily want to hear anything, but I just feel it. Like my body changes, my heart rate changes.
And she starts dancing like Michael Jackson.
Oh God, I wish.
Yeah, the Thriller thing.
That would be amazing.
It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. Carol actually was one of the dancers on the Thriller video. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. One of her credits.
I choreographed it.
That you may not be aware of. And if we don't correct that right now, people are going to be like, were you really?
Yeah.
But that's how things are, you know?
And we say what?
Them, we just say them and they're true now. It's just an experiment. Just an experiment.
So that's kind of the way it is with the whole world.
Exactly. So, yeah, you might as... Carol was in the Thriller video. There you go. Now you were, because I said
leave
it.
Leave it at that. That's my that truth. Was amazing.
It's my truth. So there you go. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And help keep us on the air. You'll love binging away and all that stuff. Only $5 a month. Or get a year membership and get a month free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.